I thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Amen.
You took my place, laid beside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, then you walked right out again.
Hallelujah.
And death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that causes sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, there is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood that causes sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear prevail, by the living word and God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bow to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. You guys think you can sing that part? Or no? I want to show it to you guys. I know. You can do it. All right, here we go. This is the chorus. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. What do you guys think? Yeah? All right, sing it with me. Come on. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Here we go. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. You know, to God be the glory in all things, right? Can I get an amen? The lyrics are inside the first page of your bulletin if you need it. Remember those walls that we called sin and shame? They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave? They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now, yeah. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. Before the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those jars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but him. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. Do you believe it? This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. In all things we do, we give glory to Jesus. In the dark moments, we bring Jesus in. In those heavy moments, we know that God is always reaching out to us no matter what, where we're at. He's here right now. So can we say, thank you, Jesus? Yeah, let's do that one more time. Thank you, Jesus. So this is an old hymn. So you guys follow along. I'm going to show you it. Very simple. But we're giving glory to Jesus today. Glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pain poured for me the life take it. I gotta try that again. Glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. You got that? I barely got it. Let's do this together. Glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pain poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. Grace and life eternal in that blood I find. Blessed by his compassion, infinitely blessed through endless ages, be the gracious stream which from endless torment did the world redeem. Lift we then our voices, swell the mighty flood, louder still and louder, praise the precious blood. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you are here today. In our imperfections, in our brokenness, we just bow down and beg for mercy today. We pray for forgiveness because we know your love endureth forever. It's unconditional, and we're just not worthy. We pray that we can see you today, because we know you are here. In the name of Jesus, his mighty name, amen. All of you can be seated.
Man. Good morning, y'all. You got to wake up. Good morning, y'all. Okay, good. So, as you can tell by the way I'm dressed, I'm not a beach person. I come from the beautiful land of bayous down in Louisiana, and that's where our district headquarters are. I'm the district president of the Southern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which Hope on the Beach is a member. We cover Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and the panhandle of Florida, right? And so this is where we are today, and hopefully you know where you're at. And so Pastor Jason kindly invited me to come and be able to bring the word to you this morning, and I'm thankful. The cloud cover, we need that to return just a little bit, but the breeze is good, so we're going to be all right. So if you look in your bulletin with me, under where it says sermon, there's the scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning, and this is from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Let me read this to you. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes or from where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can I expect you to believe heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. So we see that Jesus is once again interacting with people. And Jesus is doing this all throughout his ministry. And you know, like Pastor Jason said, this is a no-judgment zone. With Jesus, there was no judgment. Wherever we see Jesus going, the only people that Jesus gave judgment to were the religious people, kind of the good people like us, who have their religion, who have their beliefs, and who want nothing more than to hold on to those things and keep some semblance of control. But Jesus is always wide open for everybody. And so Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a teacher of Israel, he comes to Jesus at night. You notice that where it says that he comes at night. Why is Nicodemus coming at nighttime? Nicodemus is coming at nighttime because he's afraid to be seen around Jesus. Nobody in that culture came anywhere at nighttime. You went into your home, you shut your home up, you stayed in your home, and you came out during the daytime. And yet he's kind of skulking around and sneaking through the darkness to come and talk to Jesus. And he comes and he finds Jesus and he says, "Jesus, we know that you are from God because you do all of these signs and wonders. We see this, that you are from God." And it's almost like Jesus doesn't listen. Because Jesus doesn't answer him about that he's sent from God or not. Jesus simply goes right into the heart of the matter. And this is what Jesus does. If you watch Jesus in the scripture, every time Jesus is interacting with people, he goes right to the heart of the matter. We have the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he says, "I've done everything to fulfill the law of God. I am righteous. What more do I lack in order to earn the kingdom of God?" And Jesus, knowing his heart, that he loved his wealth, he says to him, "Go and sell all that you have and follow me." And the young man went away sad. See, Jesus knows how to get exactly to our heart. And a lot of times we don't like that, right? We don't like our hearts to be exposed. We don't like to be called to repentance. We don't like to be told that some of the things that we're doing are not in line with God's plan. And we get upset and angry. We leave sad because Jesus has told us the truth. And so Jesus is speaking here to Nicodemus. And he doesn't talk to Nicodemus about who Jesus is or the miracles that he does. He goes right to the heart of the matter. And he says, "Listen, truly, truly, I'm going to tell you some truth right here. That unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you are not going to see the kingdom of God." Now, we hear words in our culture all the time that everybody goes to heaven, that every road leads to God, that if you're just trying to be a good person and you're trying to follow the light that you have and you're trying to do your religion, then God's going to honor that and everybody goes to heaven. But Jesus, he says differently. And he says, if you want to go to the kingdom of heaven, if you want to spend eternal life with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in this resurrected body where we're going to live forever, then you have to be born again. And Nicodemus is, he's like, well, how can that happen? How can you can't go back into your mother's womb and be born again. And Jesus says, no, you're missing it. Listen, you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. In another place in Mark, Jesus is going to say it this way. He's going to say, believe and be baptized and you'll be saved. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit. And Nicodemus is perplexed by this. And Jesus says, look, man, if you can't grasp the earthly things that I'm telling you, how are you going to grasp the heavenly stuff? And so Jesus goes on and he finally comes to this place where he says these words in John 3:16 that if you've ever been around church very long, this has been memorized into your heart and your mind, that we say that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, right? Should not go to eternal everlasting hell, separated from God, should not perish, but should have everlasting life, right? And I learned this one, and I imagine you did too, and I can rattle that thing off, right? You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Woo! Right? You know, you want to have a contest, see if somebody can beat me, right? You know, it just, we get those things. And then, but things that we have memorized, things that we can say off the tip of our tongue like that, become rote to us, and they lose their power. They lose their power because they become so common to us. And I was reading this and looking through the scriptures, and when I was a church planter, and I was reaching a lot of people who were really hurt and broken by sin, people who came from, you know, multiple marriages, people who had children with multiple men who weren't their fathers, people who were in drug and alcohol addiction, and I'm working with all of these really hurt and broken people who knew that they were sinners, who knew that they were broken, who didn't have to be told that they were sinners, they knew. And I'm reading this and once again come to this rote part, you know, that God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's like, yeah, that's right. And then it was like I read the next verse for the very first time. It says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Oh, that's different. That's kind of, Jesus is different than everybody else. Jesus is different than what many Christians believe Jesus is, because many Christians and many people in the world hear nothing but condemnation from the church and from Jesus. Right? You have to get your life straightened up. You have to quit your sin. You have to quit doing those things that don't please God. Get cleaned up, get straightened up, and then you can come to Jesus and maybe he'll accept you. That's kind of the message that we get. It's kind of the message that the world, if you talk to people outside of the church, that they get this picture of Jesus, that Jesus is condemning people to hell. And the word says different. The word says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, this is the mission of Jesus. This is what Jesus is doing. That Jesus is coming to be able to save us from our sin. You know, the Jesus doesn't condemn, but the world condemns us. We condemn ourselves, right? The law of God condemns us. When the law of God says, you have to be holy as God is holy. You have to be as perfect as God in order to be able to get into heaven, and all of us fail. There's not a single one of us that's perfect. When I was... My mom passed away a couple of years ago at 96, and when I would go and visit her, she would invariably during the conversation look at me and she would shake her head and she'd say, I can't believe you're a pastor. And she'd say, My friends who knew you growing up, they can't believe that you're a pastor. Right? And so that's how we think of these things, right? That you're supposed to be holier than something else. You're supposed to be better than other people. And she knew all of my problems and all of my... Well, she didn't know all of them. She knew the ones that I got caught, right? But not all of them. But we tend to cover over our sin. And we tend not to allow Jesus to penetrate our hearts with his grace and his word. But we know that our sin condemns us. Whatever your habitual sin is, whatever you do to cover it up, to come here today and to look good, right? To pretend that you have it all together while inside many people are just dying. You know, pretend that our family is perfect. We take the perfect picture, you know, at the beach, the bright white clothing and all of our hair is done perfect. And we have these beautiful pictures to show the world that our family is perfect. And inside our families are dying. You know, inside we have people who are struggling with sexual issues. We have people struggling with homosexuality and transgenderism. Inside we have people who are struggling with sexual promiscuity. We have children and brothers and sisters and people in our families that are broken through alcohol and drug abuse. We all have these things in our lives, and yet we put these facades up so that you think that I'm something more than what I am. We try to hide, but we try to hide from God as well. And Jesus says, you can't. I'm going to put my finger right on it. And the scriptures comes to us and it says, you're condemned, but not by Jesus. That Jesus came so that he might save you and the entire world. And so, here's the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel in a nutshell. You remember Good Friday, right? With Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he's up there and towards the end of his torment, he cries out and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You remember that? Think about that. God the Father turned his face away from Jesus, his son. God the Father forsook Jesus. What does that mean? That means that Jesus was separated from God the Father. That Jesus and God the Father, so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had been in perfect communion for all of eternity. We don't understand the math, right? You got three people and one God and three people, and so they've always existed together. And here Jesus is dying on the cross to save us from our sins, and God the Father forsakes him. And he cries out in pain, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that moment, hanging on that cross, God the Father poured all of his wrath against sin into his son Jesus Christ. God poured all of the wrath of the hell that you and I deserve for our sins. He poured it into Jesus. The cup of wrath was poured completely into Jesus. Every last drop of the cup of wrath of God was poured into Jesus. Jesus took it all. He receives the damnation, the hell that we deserve. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he says, it's finished. And he breathes his last. And Jesus takes all of our sin, takes all of your sin, all the stuff that you have done in the past, all the stuff you're doing now, all the stuff that you're going to do that condemns you. And Jesus took all of the wrath of God into himself. And then he took it and he descended into hell. And when he descended into hell, he left your sin, and he left the wrath of God against your sin in hell with death and the devil. And then when Jesus rose again from the grave, he ascends and he leaves all of the wrath of God against your sin in hell. And so what this means is that God's no longer angry at you. What this means is that all of your sins are forgiven. What this means is that anything that you have done, everything that you have done, God says you're forgiven. And then the scripture goes even further. And I love this. The scripture says that God takes your sin and he casts it as far as east is from west. And then this is the part I like the best. The scripture says that God takes your sin and he says he chooses not to remember it anymore. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is hallelujah stuff right here. That God says, I choose not to remember your sin anymore. Now, I don't know about you, every once in a while when I'm driving, I drive an awful lot across the Southern District, and sometimes I'm in a quiet time driving, and something will pop in my mind that I did 40 years ago that I'll be ashamed of. It's like, oh, God, I forgot about that, and I'm ashamed of what I did. And I have to remember that scripture that God says He chooses not to remember it. That God says He chooses not to remember your sin anymore. And so those whom Christ has made clean are clean indeed. Your sins are forgiven. You stand in right relationship with God the Father. You will have eternal life. And then He turns it and He says, now this is for you. What I want you to do is I want you to take it with you. What you have received here, go and give it away. And so you go back to your families, right? That's the first mission field. Go to your families and give your families the gospel that God has taken all your sins away in Jesus Christ. Believe and be baptized and you'll be saved no matter what you've done. No matter what you have done, God will save you. And then He'll choose not to remember your sins anymore. Can y'all say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for the story of Nicodemus. We thank You that You have forgiven all of our sins. We thank You that on the cross, when Jesus cries out, He says, my God, why have You forsaken Me? That You poured all of the power of hell and death into Him that we deserve. And He took it all. And He left it in hell where it belongs. And so, Lord, remind us of Your great salvation. And then lead us to be able to share this with others. Believe and be baptized, and you'll be saved. We ask You to seal this word into our hearts and minds in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Pastor Eric. We continue to lift up our needs and for our country, for our families, for our communities, and the ones we know and our friends. A little announcement I just want to do right now. We have been served here by Callie, who's our beach ambassador, so well this year. And she's going to transition to another position, and we are going to miss her. But I just want to give a moment to just, just give her a little shout out right now and say thank you. It's a very hard job. A thankless job. I know there's a lot of tourists here, and I know that you guys are okay because you came to church. But anyway, no, just kidding. But it just seems like people come on vacation, they forget they're in a community. And she's been trying to just be that reminder of how do we love our neighbor and be together. And that's a hard job. So we thank her for her service here. And we thank those who served in the military and those that are serving. I'm really grateful. My son-in-law came home yesterday after his deployment, and we're grateful for him to be back home. And I know that there's still many others who are serving. So we're going to lift them up in prayer also. Oh, thank you. And celebrating birthdays. If you got a birthday, I want to encourage you to celebrate it. I had an opportunity to be with an organization that hands out birthday boxes to foster kids and kids in need or food insecurity or poverty or broken. And one of the lines is like this box of hope that comes with the message of Christ in it. And it's an incredible book that tells kids you're a treasure to celebrate this day, that God's not forgotten about you. And it just says it interrupts the trauma of life with a reminder of Christ's love and hope. And that's what we do. We share this love of Jesus. Interrupt the trauma of our sin with Christ's love and hope. That's the message we've been given to share. So I invite you to pray. Let's pray. Hey, Father, we are so grateful for the many blessings You put in our life, and it's good that we slow down and give account for them. We thank You for a place like this, a vacation. We thank You for the people that we often get overlooked who serve us. Callie is the one we mentioned, but there's many more who are serving to make this a place for all people to enjoy your wonderful creation. And the beauty of your presence in this creation, your majesty, it reminds us there's something such greater out there that loves us and is with us. And just as these waves keep crashing, that reminder of God's grace that keeps coming again and again to renew, to cleanse, to take away those hurts and pains from our sins and the memories that maybe Satan tries to put on us, to remind us we are not condemned, but by Jesus we are saved. Lord, we pray for our world, that it may know peace, it may know you. For those people in unreached people groups who have never heard your gospel in their language, Lord, we pray for those missionaries out there doing that. Lord, we pray for leaders that, man, whose hearts may be hard and cold against you, that they would be broken because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All this is yours. And that you would even use them in bringing about your good and gracious will for all people to be able to know you. And so, Lord, we pray for our leaders of all countries and all levels. That God, that you would soften their hearts to honor you in all they do. That they'd be people of righteousness, to walk in your ways, that you guide them and lead them. Lord, we ask for your protection, especially for our military and those in armed forces who are our police that are protecting us. And Lord, we thank you for all those who serve, that you would watch over and guard them too. That you bring healing where there is needed from the things that they have been experienced. And Father, we pray for our loved ones and our family, those who are sick or hurting, for our relationships, that may be mended and brought together, that your grace may bring us back into that peace that you give to us, that peace, that reconciled relationship, not because it's fair, just because there's grace. And Lord, we pray for marriages. May they be held strong in you. May they be a light in a world of fighting to hold together. This is the foundation of any culture. It's the family. So let the church be in our homes. Shine bright. And so, Lord, there's many other things in our hearts and minds for those who are sick, family members that don't know you. And so we lift them up in great confidence, your children, as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In your worship folder, there's an opportunity for us to continue our worship with our gifts that God has given us to honor him and to worship him. And so there's an offering envelope, or you can use the QR code, a text to give. Also, there's a connection card. If you could, if you want to turn to the backside, if you want to take a next step of faith, man, maybe you haven't been baptized, well, please come talk to us. That's what we're here for. We love to. Love to kind of walk alongside you even today. And if you like prayer, please come up. Also, you can see where you place to get devotions. There's opportunities to plug in and belong, especially if you want to become part of it, get part of a team, part of the community. Let us know. We love to help you in doing that. That's our privilege and honor, and we just love to help you in great next steps and grow in your faith. And growth happens best in a community, and so we love to welcome you and help you become part of that. So let us know. We'd be glad to do that. So with that, we'll continue our worship. As we do, ushers will come around the bucket. You can put your offering envelope and your connection card in there. You can keep the pen and go share it with somebody. You can take the magnet and go share it to somebody. I found a pen in Louisiana, so it's fun to see these pens in different places. So go use it, take it home, and leave it at the doctor's office and see if somebody else finds it. Goes, oh, I know that place. So let us rise. Let us worship.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me all my days. I've been held in your hand. By the way, the lyrics are on the back page. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Yeah. You have led me through the fire in darkest nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God all my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Do you believe it today? God's goodness. Hallelujah. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
God is good. Amen. God is good all the time. Hey, we're welcome. We invite you to a fellowship, and we have a little food and coffee. You're welcome to come join. Just under the pavilions up top, if you'd love to connect and have a little refreshments, we'd love to be able to have a chance to meet. So receive this blessing as we go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.